This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. State Representative Court Boyce joining us. Court, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, Kyle, thanks for having me on. Hey, on the coast, it's only 80 degrees, so come for a visit. In fact, it's probably closer to low 70s. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, a lot of different things we could cover today. I wanted to, because you have talked a lot about the governor's race, the poll out late last week showing that right now it's within the margin of error with Christine Drazen leading slightly. What are your thoughts on that?
Couple very interesting polls there that show that it's really going to be an incredibly close race. Our job is to get the vote out. I'll be sending a direct mail piece to all the non-affiliated, independent, and conservative voters, Republican, and just say, hey, we deserve a chance to govern. We haven't been in a position of power, essentially, for 40 years, and we're about as pro-family, pro-business, pro-public safety as we can possibly be. Kyle, I work with 10 women on my Republican side and 12 men that are just incredibly dedicated. So, yeah, we hope that that Christine Drazen will prevail. Not only is it a breath of fresh air, but she is a tremendous leader. She is honest. She's experienced, and she's what Oregon needs right now. So we hope to bring a few Senate and House seat additions to the mix in November. So we're going to be absolutely running as hard as we can go the next 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that part. Do you think with this support for Drazen at the level as it is, do you think that will help the GOP pick up some seats in the legislature?
Well, it goes along with the Spain, too. You know, people on the other side, what do they have? They just almost brutally say, oh, well, the Spain and Drazen, they're just so tied in with Trump. Well, we all are tied in with his economy, and I think she's had a great answer to that. You know, compared to the Oregon economy, there's just no comparison. So there's things all of us don't like about the president's personality, but he's also a leader. And so the fact that something as simple as the border being properly monitored and close to illegal people coming in, that's huge. Iran not getting any nuclear weapons at the national level. I mean, we have to look at those things. And so the economy is huge. Public safety is one of the top two or three, in my opinion, Kyle, which of course includes fire protection for our suburbs and rural Oregonians.
Now, even if Drazen were to win, which would be historic since no Republican's been in since Vic Atiyah left, the legislature, though, is still likely to be easily led by Democrats. How will that power balance work?
You know, we're only 23 in the House right now. And so if we got to 25 or 26, we think we have a good chance. That gets us out of the supermajority. But even in view of that, it's much better leverage. I hope to be vice chair of the Veterans and Emergency Management Committee. On the Senate side, I think we've got a really good chance to pick up a couple of seats. Bittersweet, we hope David Brock Smith will move to the U.S. Senate. He's running a very well-designed and comprehensive campaign, and the guy's just really sharp. And of course, his heart is in Southwest Oregon, just like mine. And so, yeah, we think we can increase some seats, and we think we can, sometimes you hear back to basics, sometimes you hear contract with Oregon, but it's just a different philosophical and political view on how to manage our state, especially when it comes to spending, especially when it comes to our education system. There's so much work to do, but we are energized dudes and very much ready to take the lead. We just asked for a couple of years. If Oregonians don't see some remarkable positive changes in just the first year and a half, even 2 years, then we will have failed. We just don't think that's going to happen. And we just ask people, don't vote against your own best interest.
For the average person, a lot of people kind of dial out politics or dial it back during the summer. A lot of other things going on, vacations and sports and concerts and all of that. But how important is this summer period to any of these campaigns in being prepared to make the big push starting right after Labor Day and going to, towards November?
You know, Kyle, that's an excellent point, an excellent question. No drama, but the point is, everything we do now is for future generations. We all have kids and grandkids, and that's a tremendous responsibility. My parents and grandparents left me a great country, so that's why I'm, you know, really positive about doing this job and building on the trust the people have. And, you know, I love Cusker and Douglas counties. And I have the most diverse geographical district in Oregon, with everything from agriculture to forestry, fishing, the coast, you know, the Douglas County mountains and plains. It's just really an honor to serve.
Now, let's talk about fire season. You mentioned that a little bit earlier on. What are your concerns right now? We've got the Jackson County fire and some other ones beginning to get a lot of attention.
You know, the Shady Cove fire, I think, is pretty much under control. Of course, you can always flare up. We're not getting the winds here on the coast right now, and that's a big plus. All of the other conditions, as you well know, are not very good when it comes to fire. July fires are incredibly difficult to get out. They generally, Kyle, simmer for a few weeks, and then all of a sudden they'll get the right wind, the worst conditions, and they'll explode. Fires that start in August, different story. They sometimes have a transitional period where weather becomes good weather conditions become a factor and easier to put out. Doesn't mean it just means that essentially if we can get through July without major fires in Oregon, it gives us a leg up to kind of get through this fire season. Right now we've only lost about 40,000 acres in the state, which is a very impressive number for this early. Of course, knock on wood, we've got to be on our toes, but I also give the Oregon Department of Forestry tremendous kudos for the organization, the planning, Oregon State Fire Marshal, all of the above. We've all learned so much in the last few years. And we, despite the conditions being some of the worst in the last 10 years, I think we have a really good chance to get through this season without too much horrific damage to our forests and homes and, again, the suburb areas.
Any success, do you think, from the state side of things and working with the federal level to do additional cleanup on the federal forests?
You know, that's back to the Trump administration. Again, he's not very popular in Oregon, so, you know, in metro Oregon. He certainly is in rural Oregon. You know, when I went to Washington, D.C., I met with Department of Interior Secretary Rollins' staff on fire funding and the federal responsibility, working closer with the state of Oregon, well, all western states for that matter. But, you know, I'm most concerned, obviously, about Oregon. And I just see some really good things happening there. I see some tremendous teamwork. I see, you know, 10 years ago, the Forest Service and I were enemies with the Checo Bar and Klondike and the Flat Fire. Since that time, with the leadership in the Forest Service, especially with Merv George, who is now number two of the 17 National Forests in Oregon, he and I have become good friends. And his job, he believes, is to get the fires out. And that's part of his Native American background. And so, yeah, a lot of good things happening there. We just have to respectfully, politely keep the pressure up and say, hey, Oregon is at such high risk. I mean, more so than any other state, because of how fast vegetation, trees, brush, everything grows, and how quickly, also, as you know, Kyle, things dry out.
Now, do you feel like this time period that we're in now, there's an opportunity to make some significant progress on this? Because if you look ahead in a couple of years, you're going to have a different administration, and Republican or Democrat, you're not really sure what they'll do when it comes to these kind of topics.
Well, I think that's also a good question. The future is now. And so everything we do to bring common sense and logic when it comes to forest management, we need to obviously increase our logging, our timber harvest. There's just no need to the waste. We need to teach our kids in school that no other state has this kind of revenue advantage for schools and law enforcement. And the environmental community, at least the radical portions that have had their way for so long through the legal system, has wasted billions and billions of dollars of timber in this state, and there's just absolutely no excuse for it. And so it hurts families. You see more mills closing down. And so I love being involved in that debate, and I'll take it to anyone with essentially the common sense of where we are. And we're just not going to stand by on our watch. And I can speak for, you know, the South Coast delegation, but Virgil and Alec and everyone, it's really a logical perspective on how to manage our forest. And we're not doing the job like we did in the 70s, 80s, 90s, Kyle.
All right, we're going to take a break. More when we come back. State Representative Court Boyce, the interview of podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. State Representative Virgil Osborne in studio with us tomorrow. State Representative Court Boyce on the South Coast covering a number of topics this afternoon. So this time of year, what is a lawmaker doing? What are you involved in right now?
Well, I'm going to have a booth at the Douglas County Fair, which is the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th of August, the Curry County Fair, 23rd, 26th. Coos County Fair, 21st through 25th, kind of the same weekend as Curry. But tomorrow, Kyle, I got to make a quick run. I'm leaving here Gold Beach real early in the morning going to Albany. You know, we worry and work hard for our fishermen, our farmers, ranchers, but it's a contractors meeting, and it's just an update on what it's like to do business in Oregon and how we can help. So I'm looking forward to that. It's about a four-hour meeting, tour, what have you. And then working on rural hospitals continually, meetings. The president sent $196 million strictly for rural hospital support. And I'm just doing my best to make sure that our district is positioned to receive a fair share of those funds. That includes Mercy and Roseburg and Bay Area and Coos Bay. So I give my crew a couple weeks off earlier this month. They're all back raring to go and getting ready for the 27th session, assuming I win in November, of course.
Now, as far as the hospital topic goes, I think it's a little different probably inland when you've got the freeway and the local facilities. For the South Coast, though, talk about some of the challenges of hospital health care, where you've got wide areas where it's a long drive to the next hospital.
Well, as you well know, of course, that's why rural hospitals are so important. And it's an added incentive to be able to stay and live and raise a family in rural Oregon. And so, you know, all three of mine abandoned Southern Coos, Coquille Valley, and Coquille, Curry General, Gold Beach. I'm just really grateful for how well that they are managed. These are long-term people, and of course, they're all competing for healthcare providers, just like all hospitals. But you know, it's just part of why we live in America, and what's special about Oregon is that healthcare is getting more and more expensive. So we have to really have an attention to detail, and we're getting better at that all the time. It takes time. You have to build relationships, and you have to understand and educate yourself. And there's just some incredible opportunities there to support those hospitals, the people that work there, and the management.
Talk about priorities for the next legislative session. Are you already working on some things?
You know, Brock Smith, he always has 100 bills or so, and sometimes people give him, rib him a little bit. But his philosophy now has been, well, when you're in a minority, if you get anything and everything you can possibly stick through committees, you've done a good job for rural Oregon and your district. And so I've already got about 15. You know, I'm on the Veterans Emergency Management. I mentioned land use, water, agriculture, and natural resources, and, of course, housing, homeless. So this will be my fifth session, and really starting to learn my way around, should be able to. And so any bills that I can get to my own committees is the right place to start, and then get my crew wound up on doing the research and the logic behind important new bills that we need to cover. So ultimately, I'll probably have about 30 that will be pretty complicated bills, but easy to get the other side to come on board.
For lawmakers of both parties, one of the aspects, though, as you work on individual priorities, is not knowing until we get past the general who is going to be in the governor's seat come January.
Absolutely. And so, you know, I have a good relationship with Governor Kotek. You know, I try not to be partisan at all. No question and no surprise. Everybody knows I'm going to be working, have been working 24/7 for Christine Drazen and conservative business oriented candidates, pro family, pro change in education, dealing with the whole sanctuary city and county deal. My goodness, public safety, support of law enforcement. You know, Oregon has got a chance to really reverse course. And so I plan, Kyle, to be, of course, right in the middle of that. And so whoever comes in as governor will already be prepared and, you know, feet hitting the ground running. So, you know, we'll be ready for all surprises and sleeves rolled up, anxious to be successful and solve problems.
You mentioned this a little bit in the past, but a lot of people, especially inland over here, may not be aware. Talk about your families, your extended families, kind of a background in service in different areas in the region.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty proud of my family. My grandfather and grandmother were both born in the late 1880s, and Lang was just halfway between Port Orford and Bandon. They had 12 children, 1908 to 1928. And yeah, the heritage, I won't bore you too much, but Uncle Jerry was the one who started Jerry's Jet Boat Trips in Gold Beach in 1959. That's how we all got our start on the river. My dad was a famous sheriff here in the 60s and 70s, and just one heck of a lawman, polygraph examiner, lie detector, just beloved. And, you know, he knew all of Southwest Oregon, and if he was here today, my grandfather, who, by the way, was the longest-serving Curry County Commissioner of all time, 1930 to 1948, one of the original four commissioners who brought us the ONC Timberlands so that counties could get money from the federal government on land was, you know, basically owned by the federal government, sits dormant. And so if my grandfather and father here today, they would say, you dang well better be earning your paycheck, no matter how big or how small. And the legislature is pretty small.
And does that kind of background, is that part of what draws you into continuing that legacy, if you will?
Well, thank you on that as well. Yes, you know, what motivates you when you, you know, the time I live on this old planet, where I live, to whom much is given, much is required. I'm not trying to sound benevolent, Kyle, but it's fun. It's a tremendous opportunity. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's kind of fun being in a minority because you have to work harder. And that's the background of my family. And so, you know, Chris Boyce for Douglas County Commissioner, it's just in our DNA and not boasting, for goodness sakes, but that's part of old America. It's part of, you know, a farming mentality. And so we're just fortunate, very, very blessed to be able to work for the people of Douglas, Coos, and Curry County. And I just will always work hard for their trust and keep that trust.
What's your top priority into the next legislative session?
You know, you just heard him mention sanctuary cities. You heard him mention public safety, which includes, again, very important to keep kind of politely beating that drum, fire, the risk of fire in our state. And so people, after five sessions, they're starting to look to me some on, okay, what's Boyce think about this? How can we change? How can we solve this? What are we overlooking? And so, you know, I've worked real hard to get as much background and knowledge for many years, long before I became a county commissioner or a lawmaker, to know as much about fire and prevention and awareness, recovery, response, all the above. And I just try and extend that out to people that can benefit. And I learn from people all the time.
State Representative Court Boyce, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hey, enjoy the weather, Kyle. Come to the coast when you can. Thank you again.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. It's presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.